The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show. Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes is in the house. Hey Dougie, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good. We're going camping this weekend, so we came in early to record the show. Little League football is on a roll, 4-0 this week.
4-0.
So if you're a follower of mine on Facebook.
Do you have a championship coming up at some point?
Well, of course we do. We still have four more games.
Four more games. Okay, I didn't know what the calendar was.
No. We still have a few more games. We're not going to count our chickens before they hatch, but I'll certainly count my eggs, and they are plentiful right now.
There
so we're having a ball with that. It's great to have youth football back. Last year canceled, so it's just good to see the kids out there running around, having a good time, learning something, and hopefully, like you said, win a championship. I left my news of the week back at the shop, so can't make that up, right? When you do radio the way we do it, so you just have
absolutely.
To kind of get through it a little bit. But we,
I guess what is some news of the week? We could make it up if we wanted.
Well, Indiana's playing at Penn State on Saturday night, so
okay.
we could put some fake news out there and tell them that we are guaranteeing a victory
the
in
big
Happy
guarantee.
Valley.
Nice.
But that's not going to happen. But we'll go ahead and give our sponsors a little love here. Kenny Bland Auctions, they are your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Please visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They're your full-service electrical contractor specializing in generators and solar arrays. Veteran-owned, Unrivaled Electric wants to be your electrician like they are mine. Give them a call at 812-361-3604. Talk to Tim over at Unrivaled Electric this week via text. And he, like everyone else in the world, having trouble getting parts, getting products. So if you want to get a generator or solar, you better jump on the bandwagon now, and hopefully you'll get it in sometime in this decade. Rod was talking about a swimming pool they're going to try to put in this year. And it was first going to be, you know, late summer. Now mm-hmm. it's earliest November because of the resins they can't get. I mean,
wow.
it's just an ongoing. We talked about this a few weeks ago. This supply chain thing is nuts. When I saw the picture in the Wall Street Journal of thousands of these container ships waiting to unload, a three-week waiting
yeah.
line. Can you imagine waiting in line for 3 weeks to unload? And then when you unload, there's no trucks to take them,
exactly.
which means there's no place
yeah.
to unload them. It's just this big old circle of events.
And it's all over the world. I mean, with some of the pictures we see are right now in Los Angeles, out in the harbor out there, but it's all over the world. They can't get this taken care of.
Now, you're traveling soon, right?
Tell us
what that looks like.
Yeah, so heading over to Europe to view some paintings and do the kind of things that I love to do, some of the great museums in
Take some
in
pictures
Italy.
So we can make fun of you.
Yes.
That's
as if I need more ammunition used against me from the guys in the office. I'm the office punching bag, in case anyone doesn't know. But yeah, looking forward to that, and more and more people right now are beginning to travel. There are actually over 200 cruise ships that have been going full steam ahead, full itinerary, in the month of September.
Out of the U.S.?
Out of the U.S., in different parts of the world, and they're not having any cases of COVID, which is, you know, one of the things that cruise line has been the most scrutinized business of anyone, I think, whole thing. But things are beginning to open up and happen, and so we're going to be able to take in some of the grand museums of the world, which is always exciting, and, of course, business along the way, too. So looking forward to that.
Today in the Wall Street Journal, it said, U.S. economic rally forecast after Delta-driven downturn. That was just a little bit of a fear that I thought possibly was overblown, because most of us that have been vaccinated, yeah, you can get it, but it's really, as I get reports weekly from my friends at the Bloomington Hospital, I want boots on the ground stuff. I've been telling people this for the last year and a half, well, since the beginning of this whole thing. Here's the reality, right? if I open half of the ICU and it's 90% full, that means 90% of 50% of what my capacity is. Well, you would hear back in the day, oh, it's 90% full. No. Or we're shutting down elective surgeries. Well, that's because of lack of nurses. You know, you have to know the real story behind the story. Yeah. So, you know, I've been watching that happen with my buddy walking the floor, an anesthesiologist who, you know, we've seen these numbers steadily come down. And unfortunately, you know, almost everyone was unvaccinated. So yeah. Hopefully, you know, this is showing folks that, yeah, the vaccination works. And if you don't want to get sick, then you probably should get it. You may still get a little bit sick even if you get the vaccination, but you're not going to be up there hanging around the hospital.
Right.
So, yeah, thankfully we're back in business. I have not slowed down, man. I am fired up and ready to go.
Yes.
So we're gonna get live conferences back going. I've had two this year already.
Mm-hmm.
You had one canceled in Hawaii.
Yeah.
That you were scheduled
convention.
To literally go like two weeks.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was 2 weeks ago, and it totally got suspended. The governor came out and asked everyone not to come to Hawaii. You remember, and it was like the week before that. And then I've talked to other people in the since then have gone, and of course they have been vaccinated and they're wearing masks indoor, but aside from that, it's fine. So
yeah, I'm not going to do that. I mean, if you don't want me to come, I'm not coming.
That's right.
I want to go to Florida where they welcome you.
Yeah, absolutely.
There, right. Or Texas or somewhere like that. My nephew's down from Minnesota, and I've had all these friends come from out of town. And they're like, they come to Bloomington, they're like, wait a second.
What's going on here?
And I'm like, yeah, I know. I can't explain it either. But Minnesota's like, we haven't had mask mandate for a long time.
Yeah.
But yet in Bloomington, we do. I know it seems ridiculous. I personally think it's an absolute absurd. But, I don't know. I mean, I know things, and I know things about people that I am not going to talk about publicly. But there is a bunch of hypocrites running around this town.
Sure.
And I'm not going to point you out on the air. I promise I'd never do that to anybody. I wouldn't want them to do it to me because we're all hypocritical in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you right now that from Bloomington to anywhere that I drive or fly, well, in the flights you do, but there's no mask.
No.
So I've been going to Bedford. My wife goes to Bedford to shop.
Mm-hmm.
We went there to eat last week. We've gone out of Brown County to Big Woods. It's just so much more refreshing, and the attitudes are better. When you walk into a room, I'm going to the Casa Blanca at the convention center because I'm a board member at Casa, and I'm a proud board member, but I'm going to the convention center in Bloomington, Indiana, where we're going to have six at a table, and you wear masks unless you're eating or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I'm over it. It's insane. It's absurd. And that's my stance, and
time
I'm sticking
along.
With it.
Yeah.
Preach on, David. Yeah. Preach on. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Love it.
When we come back, more ridiculous stuff. The impasse deepens as the debt ceiling increase debate occurred. We're going to go back and look at a little bit of history on this and why it is completely absurd to really be that concerned about it. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, let's get back to it. Doug Hughes is in the house. I am sitting here watching this debate over the debt ceiling increase happen once again. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back because I remember like back in the 90s when we had a shutdown and what happened during that time and what happened afterwards. So I went back and found an article from 2011, 10 years ago, right? And it was Fight Over Debt Limit Have a Long History. So in the bottom line is the debt ceiling has been raised 74 times from March of 1962 through May of 2011. Now that was 10 years ago, including 8 times under Reagan, 18 times under Ronald Reagan, 8 times under Bill Clinton, 7 under George W. Bush, 5 times under Barack Obama, and then that's where the story stops at that point. And as we all know, it's been raised many times since then, and in fact, completely suspended during the big financial crisis of the shutdown recently, only to come back to be fought over again. Congress resists a White House, this is from 2011, published July 28th. Congress resists a White House request to raise the limit on how much the U.S. can borrow. The president warns of disaster, and the fight goes down to the wire. Sounds like the current budget standoff, right? This is from 2011. Or the famous dust-up between President Clinton and the Republican Congress in 95 and 96. going back to 1962. That's when President John F. Kennedy pushed a conservative-leaning Congress to raise the federal debt limit by several billion dollars. Wow, that was incredible. Billions? Are you kidding me? Mm. Only billions? Implying that a failure to do so could harm the military. Some Republicans later accused the administration of political blackmail. So tussles over the U.S. debt ceiling, usually one of the most obscure issues in Washington, has a long history. Like I said, the debt ceiling has been raised dozens of times since the mid-50s, and every president since Dwight Eisenhower has had the, you know, has had to sort of grapple this with Congress. In many cases, Congress has forced presidents, especially members of the opposite party, to accept conditions unpalatable in exchange for approval. Rarely have they succeeded. Think about what we're dealing with right now, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. In 1979, for example, lawmakers tried to attach a balanced budget amendment to a debt ceiling increase with no avail. Congress has the authority to do crazy things, and they authorized the Treasury to do things to try and, like, you know, get around the system a little bit. The growing size of government and the onset of wars rendered the old manner of handling public debt. In 1917, Congress gave the Treasury more flexibility on how much debt it was sold, or it sold, and how, and in what form. And then you get to 1939. On the eve of World War II, Congress gave the Treasury almost unlimited power to decide what securities to sell and how to best manage the national debt, subject to an overall cap. The limit didn't pose much problem until Dwight Eisenhower took office in 53. He asked the Republican-controlled Congress to raise the debt limit from, get this, from $275 billion to $290 billion. Hmm. His own party did not want to get around to passing an increase until a year later, and only to $281 billion. Lawmakers wanted to send a message to keep sending the low, or spending on the low side, according to contemporary accounts. Now, the moves to raise the debt ceiling became an annual staple in 1960 as federal spending rose to pay for the Vietnam War and social programs created under the Great Society. By the 1970s, when I was born, political challengers often used the debt ceiling as a launching pad to attack incumbents, but few voters paid attention. Hmm, that's where we are today, I believe. Few people are paying attention to this. What incumbents disliked even more was all the time eaten up by consistent debt limit votes. The standoff in 1979 was the tipping point. Congress gave in to Jimmy Carter's request to raise the limit, but not until his Treasury Secretary warned that seniors might not get their Social Security checks.
Hmm.
Sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar.
Such threats have become time-honored tactics for both Democrats and Republican presidents. Folks, this is from 2011, 10 years ago. Each time government borrowing gets close to the ceiling, it's raised, but not without costly 11th-hour shenanigans that force the Treasury into devourous financing. A New York
devourous
Times article.
That's quite a statement.
In another standoff 2 years later, the fight to raise the debt ceiling in a periodic ritual on Capitol Hill, and every battle is surrounded by predictions of fiscal ruin from 2011, folks. In 1985, the battle was worrisome enough that Congress actually passed new rules to give the Treasury both authority to use trickery and maneuvers to stave off default. Future Treasury secretaries in both parties would use the new authority to full effect. That's where we are again today. In 1995, this is the one I was talking about earlier, they had some pretty tense stalemates. For the first time ever, a Republican-dominated Congress refused a White House request for a debt ceiling increase until it slashed spending. The result, the federal government mostly shut down. The off-and-on dispute dragged into 1996, forcing Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin, if you remember him, to employ every tool in his arsenal to prevent default. Eventually, Congress caved to President Clinton, who was viewed as the clear political winner. Future Congresses continue to haggle over the debt ceiling that it happened in 2001, 3, 4, and 5. But until, none were willing to declare warfare on the White House again. The bittersweetness of the current dispute, 2011, has led some to call for abolishing the debt limit altogether, but periodic votes do serve to make politicians accountable to voters for their spending and borrowing decisions. That's where we are again today. the Constitution entrusts the House with primary control over the federal purse strings. Of course, there's a simple way to avoid future smackdowns. Washington could get its act together, experts say, and start to whittle down the national massive debt. Even if they succeed, they don't expect the debt limit to be lowered. Harry, give 'em hell, Truman was the last president that actually lowered the debt ceiling, didn't raise it, and that was in 1946. This stuff is here to stay, so I'm telling you this to tell you that. It's going to get raised. We're not going to default. And in fact, when I was looking at bonds in the commercial space, commercial bonds, corporate bonds, that were on the worry of default, guess what kind of interest rates they were yielding? 20, 25%, sometimes 30%. But the U.S., on the brink of bankruptcy, on the brink of default, the two-month Treasury bill, which would be the most vulnerable, is yielding a whopping 0.04%. The two-year, 0.31%. The 30-year, 2.07%. Granted, at the beginning of the month, they must have not been worried at all because the two-month was at a whopping 0.06 is actually lower now than it was then. The 30-year was right around 2. It's barely over 2 now. So the bond market is not expecting any kind of delayed payments, any kind of a default, and neither should you. But and lower yields are here to stay. That equals higher asset prices when yields are low and money supply. Think about this. When they're throwing money into the system, every time they throw money in the system, it's like issuing new stock. It's dilutive to your current dollars. If your dollar is worth then less, the value of things will go up because it takes more of those to buy them. That's why asset prices are higher. Houses, apartments, stocks, gold, even bonds are higher because interest rates are lower. So I'm telling you all of this to say that. It's not going to happen. They're going to fight over this. They're not going to get through this $3-point-some-trillion bill. That's insane. No one wants that kind of debt. I was talking to Rod about this. This cannot end well. This cannot end well. Not this time, but I mean the overall debt structure. And that's why I am so adamant to get on the road and to tell the story about taxes in retirement 2025, the final drive, what you need to know to win. We're going to be doing some classes through Ivy Tech coming up soon where Doug will be the primary teacher, but I'm certainly going to come in and give a little bit of a lesson on this, on where we are today, where we're likely to go in from tax standpoint. And if you don't believe that's possible, look in the past and see where we've been. And if you don't know history, it's certainly deemed to repeat itself. So a little history lesson from 2011 on fights over the debt limit, how long of a history they have, and how similar it is to what we're facing today 10 years later. But I didn't have the debt numbers in front of me for 2011. But my guess is that we are probably somewhere 10 times greater in debt, maybe more than we were 10 years ago. Probably more than 10 times, I would guess.
Yeah, I would guess so too, David. And you know, it's always a headline, debt ceiling. And what you've proven through history here is that we've had this conversation many, many times. What happens with issues like this, though, and this is the word of caution that we throw out to everyone, is that, you know, once you've heard something so many times, it kind of loses its sense
punch.
Of fear,
sure.
Its punch. And so we've been hearing about raising the debt ceiling, and let's go from 2011 till today. We've heard about it all along. Remember when the U.S. government lost its credit ratings and everything like that? We've been through all this. What we're trying to admonish people to understand is there's only a few ways to deal with debt. They said to Benjamin Franklin told the president, there's only two ways to pay for this war, taxes and inflation. And folks, there's only a couple levers the government has to pull to deal with debt and how they pay for things. And that's taxes
and inflation. Let's take
and
a break.
Go ahead.
When we come back, let's talk about the Retirement Planning Today workshop that will be sponsored here by Ivy Tech, Center for Lifelong Learning, that Dr. Hughes will be conducting as an adjunct professor over at Ivy Tech. I guess I am too, even though I haven't been over there for a while.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, talk about that class and more. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Sorry to cut you off, Doug, but getting so worked up. I was starting to throw papers and turn things over. So you wanted to finish
your
thought.
You were a little bit rambunctious there at the break. little
riotous. You wanted to finish your thought.
Well, I was just saying that we need to be aware. One of the things, and it's a great segue into what we're talking about, one of the rules of financial planning, it's not just which stock to buy, indexes or active management, all the different things that were promoted the most. One of the most important tools to successful financial planning is not to make and base your entire financial plan on today's taxes.
Right.
Because they will change. Up, down, whichever way they go, they're going to change. And so we're in front of this today saying
you
to
actually
people,
said down out loud.
Well, there was a time. There was a time. There was a time where it would have gone down.
Absolutely. Read my lips. No new taxes,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
They went up.
That's
but then,
right.
Then so they went down. Yeah, right.
Yeah, mountains and valleys. And right now we're in a valley and we're just saying to people, looking out over the horizon, you can't make all your plans today based on today's tax laws.
So we're back in person, Doug, at Ivy Tech. Very excited about that.
Yes.
Retirement Planning Today kicks off October 19th. Doug's going to be talking about a variety of things, including what to expect. Now, one thing I want folks to understand, we've been teaching this same course for over 10 years.
Definitely over 10
years. Over 10 years. I don't know how long. We wrote a book in 2015, updated in 2019, and essentially wrote in a more conversational way every topic that we teach in these retirement planning workshops. It costs money to attend. I don't know how much. It's like $40 or something like that. There's a $39 to register. Head over to ivytech.edu/CLL. That's how you register. You can also call 330-4400 and with questions or to register that way. But we've been doing this a long time. Our book was written on this. You're going to get a free copy if you come to the program of our 2019 edition. Knowing that a few updates have happened since then, we had the Secure Act. Doug will cover all of that as well. Doug, here's the thing. It's a 2.5-hour class for two nights, so 5 hours total. And that's here's the way to put this into perspective. I used to say this all the time, and it's true. People spend more time planning their vacations than planning their retirement, estate, you name it, in planning. So spend the 5 hours over two nights, 2.5 hours, to get you on a journey to get it right. You know, you plan your vacation so it's the best it can be. Everything we go through in this class isn't any different. It's to help you put yourself on a journey of having a great life in retirement, in whatever it might be financially. Planning isn't perfect, but planning and preparation is the key to success in anything. Like my little football team, planning, prep through practice equals success. It's the mindset, will set, and then your skill set that matters. I was talking to a good friend of mine last night about mindset. You can take an average person, an average job, an average saver, and get their mindset right. And if they're willing to do it, the skills really last. Bob Knight used to say, it's 90% mental.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that to be true. You have to get your mindset right first. And I think, Doug, this class does a great job of setting the mindset, and it's designed for people between the ages of 50 and 70, or 72, we probably should put now with the RMD age changing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean people older than that won't get a lot from it, or people younger than that won't get a lot from it. But it certainly is, we're focused on retirement planning today. And I mean today. We're not talking about yesterday, today, and in the future. And even though part of the class is not necessarily about the taxes in retirement, although we spend a small amount on that, I do plan to give a little preview of what this future could look like and what they need to do now, and also then tee that up for them to attend another Ivy Tech workshop that's in the works currently, and it is called Taxes in Retirement 2025, The Final Drive. What you need to know to win. And of course, 2025 is symbolic, or maybe not, that's when the current tax law expires at the end of 2025. So we still have 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025. 5 years until we know they will at least go back to where they were before, and potentially much higher for many people. So Doug, I'm just saying that people do spend more time planning vacations than their estate or their retirement plan or whatever it might be. And this is a good opportunity for them to spend 5 hours with yours truly, Doug
Absolutely.
Hughes, everybody.
Yes, and
for $39
hey,
bucks.
Let me talk about a couple things that we do go over in the class. One of them is life planning. So much of people, when they think of retirement, it's just about numbers. We talk about life planning, how you live, where you live, different things like that. We talk about and highlight some of the irreversible decisions, too, that you can make once you make a pension decision, once you make a Social Security decision. Some of these decisions are irreversible. And, of course, we talk about investments, David. We talk about personal finance to a degree. We talk about some estate planning towards the end of the program and try to demystify some of the myths about trusts and, avoiding the nursing home. And we're just... It is a really good class. It's not just like a 30,000-foot view. It's maybe more like a 10 to 15,000-foot view. In other words, it's not so basic that you're just hearing definitions of words or things. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper than that. But the real value here is that at the end of the class, people get to come in and they tell us what is personal about them, and we help them go through that. One other tag that I'll throw out here, one other lure for us fishermen, is that Josh Norris is going to be involved too, talking about Medicare. You know, this is one of the biggest things that people face retirement is when they decide to retire is how do I pay for health insurance and how do I sign up for Medicare?
And how much is it going to cost?
And
most
how much
think,
is it going to cost?
Oh, it's free. No, it's not free.
Not free. And so we're going to have you talking about some Social Security and some tax issues.
Right.
We're going to have Josh talk about Medicare. I'll be leading the majority of the class with the other things. It's just a very good way for people to spend some time. And one last thing, we have the class in person on Tuesdays, October 19th and 26th. We also are doing the class online, October 20th and 27th, for anyone out there who
feels more convenient.
Like,
more convenient.
That's right. If they feel like they want to do it, when we do it next time, it will all be in person. But we are going to give both the online and the in-person this time around. So you can do it either way.
Awesome, awesome. We're going to take a quick break, Doug. When we come back, give folks a few more nuggets to entice you to sign up for this super popular two-day class at Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Studies. Misty received an invitation to come in the mail. I know I marked myself off of the invitation list, the whatever they call it, the syllabus that goes out in the mail. You may have gotten one as well. And I laugh because I'm like, how did she, why did, well, she is now 50. So when she turned 50 in August, it put her on the radar of getting targeted invites to Ivy Tech retirement classes.
There
we're
going to
take
go.
A quick break, come back, give you a few more nuggets. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I sure hope you've enjoyed today's program. We still have a couple more segments to go, so hang in there with us. If you miss any of the show, you can listen to it on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. here on WGCL or on WGCLradio.com or iTunes, Google Play. Go on and type in Your Money with David Hayes. Boom, it should pop to the top. And then you press subscribe, and then from that point on, put your alerts on. You'll get a little alert each and every time a new show goes up that you can listen at your leisure, which is a very popular way for many people to catch the program. So again, we're retirement planning today at Ivy Tech, October 19th and 26th. Starts at 6 p.m. It says to 9 p.m., but you typically try to get them out around 8:30, 8:40 that first night. And then the second night, the same. So allow for 3 hours a night. We have a break between. We don't hold your feet to not get up and go to the restroom or anything like that. Might even have a bottle of water or two for you there. I'm not real sure. But we will have a great class in person on Tuesday. And then, like Doug said, an online option on Wednesday, October 20th and 27th. It might be easier for you to sit around on your kitchen table and, you know, have something to eat yourself and have your own bottle of water to watch the program. And I'm sure that'll be interactive as well. So looking extremely forward to that. So a couple things that you need to know and some nuggets. Doug went through the general topics from life planning to estate planning and everything in between. But we will talk about proper, I mean, we'll get real down into the roots and into the bushes on the Roth conversion strategies. We will get into the bushes on having the proper estate planning documents, what they mean, what are some of the little hiccups. Like, for instance, with a power of attorney, I'm going to talk about this in the next segment. With a power of attorney, you can have two different types of power of attorney, a springing power of attorney, right? Mm-hmm. Or just a general durable power of attorney that doesn't necessarily have to spring into effect if you are disabled. Which, here's the thing. If you want to give someone power of attorney, just give it to them. My wife has carte blanche power of attorney for me. I have for her. We had carte blanche power of attorney for her dad, right? Because when he got lost, and drove a car all the way to Mount Vernon, Illinois. We didn't have time to run around and try to get a physician or someone to certify that he had dementia and that we need to jump in and take control. We were able to just do that without any hoops to go through. Here's another one. Healthcare representatives. Yeah, I want Misty to be able to make decisions for me, and likewise, and if we can't, I'll have my dad or my brother do that for me. My son, he's 20. No, I'm not going to allow him to do that. But we do have a power of attorney and a healthcare representative for him that allows us to make those decisions. Yes, we are still 100% financially responsible for that little booger, but if he was in a car wreck or he was out of town and he needed something done, who's going to do it? Yes, we're his parents, but you have to go through so many hoops. Why not go ahead and have your son or your daughter sign a power of attorney and a healthcare representative appointing you, because they're adults now? Those are nuggets that we will share in this class that you won't get anywhere else. And people will say, wow, I never thought of that. Or when we talk about eliminate debt and improve cash flow, or creating your own goals for a successful retirement, or selecting the right retirement plan distributions that are right for you, we'll go through how you build a retirement income plan. Not just, I can take 4% out each year and I'm going to be okay kind of a thing. We show you what sequence risk looks like, right? We get into the weeds on this stuff. So yes, it is a 10,000 or 15,000 view in many cases, but there's certain areas that are super important, Doug, that I know we get into and dig into. And for $39,
that's right.
Are you kidding me?
That's right. And that's, again, why we talk about a 10,000-foot view, not a 30,000. Many people, David, are coasting along at 30,000-foot views, looking out here, grabbing an article here, an article there, and that's their retirement plan. What we say to people is, when we come to our class, we bring it down to 10,000 feet, but then when people come in and they sit down with us and we go through the real details, that's when we get down to the ground and we see what is really going on. One of the biggest mistakes people make financially is just grabbing a few articles here and there, and they think that that's going to be the right answer forever. And oftentimes, one of the risks you just brought up is the one that people just don't even imagine, because behavioral finance says the market is high, I'm not going to sell until it's too late. And that's sequence of returns risk, and they don't put the plan together beforehand.
You're going to talk about creating a plan to retire early. A lot of people were forced out early. Yep. Some want to retire early. How do you get to your money? At what ages? You know, you might think it's 59 and a half. Well, for some people it's 55. For some people it's even 50 that you can tap your money completely tax-free.
Exactly.
Or tax without a tax penalty. It should be a lot of fun. And keep it in those articles that you mentioned, Doug, we've been interviewed for many, many, many of these articles. The people writing them really don't know much about the topic, but they lean on other people to write those topics. Very few Mary Beth Franklins out there.
That's right.
Who is Investment News, which we need to reconnect with her. I haven't talked to her for a while. I wanted to line her up for this fall, along with many others, from David McKnight to Ed Slott to Mary Beth Franklin, some of the old characters we've had on, possibly Tom Hegna, although he told me he was going to retire, and he's not retired.
It comes through my Facebook feed about once every two days, so I'm not sure he's retired.
I know, he's not retired. You couldn't hold that orange suit-wearing guy down.
Right.
Of course, he's the author of Paychecks and Playchecks and many other books as well, a great economist. He's been in the documentaries that David McKnight's put on, The Power of Zero. So, going to line up some great people starting here in October and kind of getting us through the end of the year. So very excited, Doug, to be back in person at the Center for Lifelong Learning, Tuesday, October 19th and 26th. If you need to know more, again, contact the phone number that I mentioned earlier, which was 812-330-4400, or ivytech.edu/CLL for the Center for Lifelong Learning. And look for retirement planning today. Now, if you don't find it any of those ways, or you forget, you're always welcome to call our office and we'll point you in the right direction. And this is an Ivy Tech course. We're teaching it, but it is an Ivy Tech course. So you register and pay through them, but we will point you and send you a link in the right direction. Of course, you know how to get a hold of us, but if you don't, go to our website, CFCI, that's Charlie Frank, charlieigloo.us, and contact us. Let us know you need a little help, and we'll get you signed up. Still plenty of time to do that. Registration will be open right up until October, probably 18th, the day before. So don't delay. Sign up now if you have your, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what you call this, just a brochure that has the syllabus and all the things we're going to cover, laying on your counter at home like we do. Pick it up.
Absolutely.
$39, man. The best $39 you've ever spent. You're going to get a free book.
We'll look forward to seeing you there, but it's great to meet everyone. We've had so many great connections come through
too,
and everyone gets to fellowship a little bit. It's great.
And Ivy Tech will be there to promote some of their other classes coming up, but you'll get a free copy of our 2019 revised edition, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning. We'll also, maybe if I have enough, give away some free copies of 2025, The Final Drive, Taxes, What You Need to Know to Win. So it's going to be fun. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I jumped the gun a little bit there on the music. But I mentioned last segment that I wanted to talk a little more about power of attorney problems, real life situations that come up every day in our lives, in our office, that I can share with you to make sure it doesn't happen to you. You know, in my book, I talk about you retire once, we help people retire every day. But things change, and if you set something up 10 years ago, as Doug mentioned, and you never look at it, review it, update it, monitor it again, you might be in trouble. Power of attorneys, not allowing a spouse to act on her husband's retirement account. Here's the story. This is someone we've been working with for quite some time. He's in a terrible accident. He is recovering. It's been a long road. But it's time that they need to tap his retirement to just survive. He's still in rehab. He can't speak. He can nod his head, and he can make sounds, and he is recovering, and he's going to make a recovery. I know he will. But his spouse now needs to do a rollover. And guess what? The custodian says, sorry, the power of attorney does not specifically talk about retirement accounts. It says financial matters, but it doesn't specifically talk about retirement accounts. Well, that's a problem, and that's a problem that I can tell you many of us have on these older power of attorneys where the rules have changed and what kind of language needs to be in the power of attorney to allow you to act and do certain things. What are your powers? It might say to do real estate transactions, banking transactions, and then I saw one, then it just had a little line that said, and all other financial matters. Well, to me, that's good enough. That's what the intent was, but the custodians, and most of them say no, it needs to specifically talk about retirement accounts. So what do? You contact everyone you know, who can pull what string, everything. You go through every possible scenario to the point where we are now 2 months into this and still don't have a rollover. Thankfully, they put a GoFundMe page together and they're having some money available to get by. But they have plenty of money. It's just sitting in a retirement account they can't get. So we're still trying to get this done. And I think we will eventually. But to my point, that things change. In 10, 15 years, I think it was 20 years, when they did that power of attorney, maybe that wasn't a big deal. It wasn't on the radar of attorneys at the time. Rest assured, any attorney that we mention on this show or the attorneys that I know around town, and I know many of them, they have this language in the power of attorney and have for quite some time. Can you do Medicaid planning for someone? That needs to be specifically mentioned. So I know that you're probably sitting back and thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, I don't even have a power of attorney. Or I have one, but I don't know if those things are in there. It's time to pull them out and check it out, because these are real life situations that come up in our office every day. And when I see it, I try to write it down to say, I need to mention this on the show. I don't always do it, but in this case, because it's been dragging on so long and we're getting so many people involved and everyone wants to help, but there has to be someone that just finally says, okay, we're going to let you do the rollover. And then their life will be a lot easier and they can focus more on recovering, getting back healthy, and getting back his life back again and his wife's life back again. So anyway, that's just a little lesson of the week. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back, wrap up the show. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, we're heading into the weekend soon. Hopefully by the time I get back with you next week, this debt ceiling thing will be behind us and we can move on and then start talking about fiscal responsibility, which, you know, I don't know about this. We maybe have another new deal or contract with America or something like that coming in the next 2 or 3, 4 years, because the majority of people, actually everybody that I've talked to, is number one, worried about the amount of debt we're taking on,
yes,
concerned about how we're going to pay for it, troubled by what this means for our kids and grandkids. And I told Rod, I said, this is not going to end good. And I don't know if it will be in my lifetime that it ends badly, but it can't end good. So we're going to continue to keep you abreast of those things. But, Doug, let's talk about fun things.
Yes.
West Boggs Park in beautiful Ligoti, Indiana, starting tonight, Thursday night.
Hayes Camp Out.
We're going to be down there all weekend. I can't wait. So if you're in Boggs camping, which many people do, stop by Bobcat number 13 and say hi to us.
Get some hot dogs, some hamburgers.
Maybe.
You guys going to be fishing down there, taking the boats?
Both boats are down there. My tracker's already down there, my old tracker, my new Vexus. I'm going to hook it on this afternoon and pull it down. So I'm going to head over to we're recording early because I wanted to head over to the Chamber Luncheon today where my dad's getting an award. Jerry is getting an award for all the wonderful things he's done in this community for many, many years.
Well, that's terrific.
He's just been active and been a real inspiration for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over the years.
Steady man over many years doing good things over long periods of time.
Isn't it? I mean, when Jerry walks in the room, doesn't it make everyone feel better?
That's right. He has a great smile, great personality.
Just calming
effect.
Yes, calming effect. Absolutely. You know, Brother Dan has a little bit of that too. He doesn't get calming.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if I do or not. I don't think so. I think when I walk in, they feel a little more chaos going on. I can't say for sure, but that's just my perception of what people think when I come in the room. But nonetheless, it is what it is. It takes all types to make this world go around. Looking forward to the Casablanca on Friday night. Going to run back into town for that on Friday night as a board member. Looking forward to that and a great fundraiser. So hopefully that goes off very, very well. And then you're headed off to Europe?
Yes.
And when do you leave?
Monday.
All right. And then you're gone for 10 days.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Can't wait to hear like what the travel was like, what the atmosphere and the feeling is like there. And, you know, is it positive? Is it kind of negative or, you know, what? But yeah, I'm excited for your travels. We have some things coming up as well this fall. Looking forward to that. We have conferences coming up. Angela, our longtime wonderful friend and assistant at our office, went to high school with Angela and her husband. That's how long we've known each other. She's in Disney now, celebrating her 50th birthday on the 50th anniversary of Disney World.
That's right.
And we're going to go back to Disney to celebrate her birthday on our way to our financial conference in late October, early November. So, yeah, just a lot of great things coming up, exciting things coming up. And we have Indiana football on Saturday night. I think starts at 7:30, maybe kickoff at 8. I'm not sure. But we're over at Happy Valley at Penn State. So it'll be fun to watch that stadium completely full of people and just getting back to normal. So very, very excited about that. And I hope everyone else listening to the show has a great weekend as well. And I'll be back in the studio next Thursday to inform and hopefully entertain you. It's been Your Money with David Hayes. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.